It's time again for the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach Doug Gefeller. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Paul. Good to be with you in studio today. I'm your host, Doug Gefeller, and I've been a Master Certified Coach by the International Coach Federation since 1999, and I've been coaching business owners, senior executives, and their teams for 20 years here now in Southern California, all under the banner of the coaching perspective. If you'd like to know more about my coaching services, just go to the website, thecoachingperspective.com, or you can reach me the old-fashioned way, 714-726-8354. Well, we've got a great show lined up for you today. Our guest is Netta Lena. She is the founder and CEO of Rise Up For You. As a professional performer and educator, she's traveled the world empowering youth and young adults. Netta has had the opportunity to lead and direct thousands of people, as well as secondary and post-secondary educators over the last 15 years. She is a woman's confidence coach, dedicated to spreading knowledge and empowerment to women worldwide. She enjoys working with and leading small and large teams to help them grow and become successful. And she has experience within the performing arts and arts education areas and possesses an innate ability to inspire a creative team of designers, directors, and educators. Welcome, Netta.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here.
Oh, it's great to have you here on
the show.
And I'm already feeling more confident about what I'm doing today, just based on our little 20 minutes before the show.
Wonderful. That's the plan, confidence.
Yeah, well, you know, it might be a problem. I can only handle so much confidence. Well, look, let's get started. Tell us about your experience prior to your current career.
Great. Thank you. So as mentioned, I've always had a hybrid career. So I started as a performer. I toured the world as a singer and a dancer. And I worked with youth all over the world at the same time. The specific group that I worked with, the nonprofit organization, the Young Americans, we were a hybrid of Broadway and empowering people globally through this tool of music. So I started that quite young. I was 20 years old when I began to tour. And I was a singer and a dancer, traveling the world, performing and uplifting people through this tool of music.
How exciting.
Very exciting. Very eye-opening, you know, traveling to Russia and Japan and Morocco, all these places, and living in these homes and working with the people there was incredible. And also learning how to perform for people that didn't speak your language, right? They didn't understand what you're saying. And so when I came back and I got tired of touring, you know, living out of the luggage, the lifestyle of a performer, I got into education. And that's where my hybrid career came from. So I was still directing and working with performers while I stepped into education and I was working in and out of public schools, empowering youth.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And after that, I became an executive. And I was an executive of an education corporation, working hand in hand with the CEO and building the corporation with education, working with over 200 employees, implementing policies and whatnot.
Wow, that is a mix of career.
Yeah.
Singer, dancer, performer, teacher, educational executive. Wow.
Yeah.
So do you have a preference? Which did you like best and which was the most fun?
You know, I liked both of them because I was using the same tool in both performing and educating, and that was just empowering, getting knowledge out there. That's the main thing. So even as a performer, the purpose was to get a message out there. It wasn't about me singing and dancing. It was about inspiring change through what we were doing on stage.
Different tool, same objective.
Different tool, exactly. And so, you know, stepping into education, same thing, and then becoming an executive was just on a different level because you're empowering your employees, you're trying to create a culture that's uplifting. So it was all the same but very diverse.
You know, I've seen this a lot with our guests. I look at their bios and it sounds like, what are they doing? They've had six or seven different unrelated fields. Mm-hmm. And then as I talk to them, you find out that they all built on the same tools, they had the same passion for whatever,
right.
Whether it was teaching, learning, whatever.
Right.
Well, look, what attracted you to confidence coaching?
That's a great question. Thank you. So it all started when I was younger, actually, before I even stepped into a career. I've always had confidence. I've always had a positive mindset. Fortunately, it was something that was handed down to me from my parents, who were amazing. And so when I went on tour and I was kind of on my own in my first career, I noticed that a lot of people didn't have that, unfortunately, specifically women. And I would watch them sabotage themselves as singers and dancers. They didn't feel like they were good enough. They missed opportunities as a performer because they doubted themselves. And then when I transitioned as an executive, I saw the same thing occur with professional women that were 30 and older. Same thing happened. They doubted themselves. They got into their head. They didn't have the confidence. They didn't take risk. And something so simple as me actually going to them and saying, there's a promotion coming up. You're right for the job. I'm the one that's hiring you. You can do it. And to hear women say, I'm not ready. I can't do it. I don't think I'll be good at this. It's not a good fit for me. And they would actually not take the opportunity, even though I was handing it to them pretty much, because I had worked with all of them. So I knew who was the right fit and who had the tools. So those two combined, it was very insightful to see what was happening with women on both levels. And that was something that I just was very much attracted to. So I began mentoring women at a very, very young age, just like my peers and my friends, talking with them. And then it's something that was always in me. I was doing it as an executive, trying to uplift the women that were employees. And not that I ignored the men, but the women just needed a little bit more love.
Okay.
They needed to hear their voice a little bit more. And then something more traumatic happened to me in regards to confidence. And that was the moment for me where I was like, I'm going to make a full shift and I'm going to continue to help empower women. And I resigned from my job as an executive, and that's what I did.
Very brave. Tell me, have you noticed, is there a generational difference in terms of sort of innate confidence ability in women? Can you mention 30 and over, but that might have just been who you were working with. But are the younger women coming up today more confident or less confident than?
I find personally that the younger women today are coming out less confident.
Oh, that surprises
and
me.
Part of that is because of this realm of social media that we're going through, right? There's a lot of bullying that's going on through social media. And so now you're out there even more. And so kids are losing a lot of confidence because there's virtual bullying. There's a lot of things that are happening that can really cut somebody down and tear them down. And, you know, we'll probably talk about this a little bit later, but we forget that we're all empowering everybody. Everyone's a teacher. Everyone's an educator.
Sure.
And so there's a lot of things that are being said to kids, especially in education, and I'm a big advocate for this because I've been in it, that don't help uplift their confidence. And we need to make sure, you know, things that we see on television, there's a lot of things that kind of tear you down opposed to bringing you up and bringing the confidence out in our young women and our young kids.
How is your coaching unique from other people's coaching?
It is unique.
Okay.
Thank you for asking.
I may have to have you coach me so I can see how unique it is. But yeah, tell us.
The main reason why it's unique is because I use the tool of performance. So all of the information and the knowledge that I've received as a performer, that's the tool that I use to build confidence, which is a unique tool.
Okay, you have to explain that.
So everything that I've learned as a performer, standing on stage, your message, where you look, how you stand, I've taken all of those tools because I realized that that helped build confidence. And when I started directing performers and I started directing these students that are about to go out in the world and sing and dance, I realized that I was actually empowering them with mindset and confidence through these tools of performance. And that's how I developed the coaching program to build confidence and mindset through these tools that we will talk about, I'm sure, later, or I can dive into them now.
Okay. Well, we'll get to it in a little bit. Well, that's wonderful. Yeah, that's great. So that kind of catches us up, or does that catch us up to today in terms of your career?
Now we're here today, yes.
Now we're here today. So tell the audience what you're doing currently. What's your current business model?
Thank you.
Or maybe I should say models after.
So today I'm the CEO and founder of Rise Up For You. It's a company dedicated to empowering women. So our goal is to help women live their best life. And we do that through a number of sources. So we have a podcast where we interview professionals to get knowledge out there so that women can feel empowered. Of course, there's the traditional articles and content on the website that they can see. And then the two biggest things are the events. So we have a live event coming up to help empower women so that they could come together with like-minded people and learn.
Okay, let me interrupt you for a minute.
Yep, sure.
You'll find I do this a lot.
No,
I'm sorry.
Problem.
You have a live event coming up, just
yes.
In case. When is it and where is it? Let's get that out right now.
Perfect. So it's called Empowered Women Rise. It's a professional conference. It's November 6th, 2016, in Newport, which is amazing. It's at the Fairmont Hotel. And we seem to not have too many professional women conferences in this area, so it's going to be great.
Great. And it's on your website, so people can... And we'll make sure that they get the link to that when we post this.
Thank you.
I'm sorry for interrupting.
No, that's
okay.
You're the boss, whatever you want. And then, of course, is the coaching aspect, where I help women overcome self-doubt so they can reach their true and full potential. There's so much out there that women can achieve that they're stopping themselves from doing it and they don't realize it. And my mission is just to reach as many women as possible so they can realize their worth and step into their life and build a life completely full of happiness that they enjoy, a life that they deserve, not a life that they have learned to accept.
That could apply to all of us. That's not limited to just women.
That's correct.
Yeah. So tell me, is all of your coaching through group events, or do you do individual one-on-one coaching?
No, I do private coaching
you
as well.
You do private coaching as well?
I do private coaching as well, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And you, in your private coaching, the role that performance plays there, same?
Yeah, there's a whole process that we go through, but the first thing is building the confidence.
Okay.
Building the confidence to create the life that you want, right? So there's those two components. It's the confidence, the mindset, and then now beginning to create. But you can't create unless you build the confidence and you have the clarity in who you are to now build what it is that you want, right?
Okay.
So with the coaching, we start with confidence. And the main process that we use is, yes, the performance process, which I'll break down. It sounds scary. Sometimes when I talk about it, people are like, I don't want to stand on stage and sing. I'm like, don't worry. That's not what's going to happen.
Thank you for the background information. And
you're welcome.
There's a lot we want to get into. But before we do, we've asked every one of our guests that we've ever had on the show this question. What's your guiding principle? What value is your true north that keeps you going in the right direction? And how did it come about?
If you truly loved yourself, you can never hurt another. So that's a quote from Buddha.
Okay.
And I read that somewhere a couple years ago. And it just resonated with me instantly because it's true. And I believe that if you did truly love yourself and you took the time to take care of yourself, then you wouldn't be so quick to react to other people. You wouldn't be so quick to react to some of the negative things that might come across in your life. And I think that if you can remember to just continue to love yourself, then when somebody does come, let's say, and cut you off in a car, opposed to you saying, oh man, they cut me off and blah, blah, and having that negative verbiage, it now can simply be, you know, maybe their kid's in the back crying and they have to go to the bathroom and they're rushing and they got to get off the freeway. You know, maybe there's somebody in the car that's really, really sick and they're driving them to the hospital. So if you loved yourself, then you wouldn't be so quick to react. Sometimes people react because there's built up there. There's baggage there.
Right.
Right? And there's a lot of hurt and there's a lot of anger. And usually people do things not because they want to hurt you or because they want to, you know, make you feel bad. It's because they feel bad and they have a lot of baggage. And they let that come out through what they're doing and how they're acting and the things that they're saying.
I love that. So if you truly love yourself,
you can never hurt another.
You know, which kind of gets to the point that when people talk about confidence, many, many times when you talk about building somebody's confidence, people think about it as ego-driven, as about I'm better than you. I'm confident that I'm better than you. But that's not what I hear you saying at all when you're talking. You're talking about self-confidence. I'm able to handle, I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Right. No, you're right. And I'm glad that you brought that up because I'll tell you, Doug, one of the number one things that I hear today still is I don't know how to be confident because I don't want people to think I'm stuck up or talk about me or say that I'm cocky. So what's happened is this word confidence has somehow received a negative connotation to it. Right? Oh,
yes.
You're overconfident. You're too confident. And when I hear that, I say, no, you're not. Like, there's no such thing as being overly confident or too confident. It's great to believe in yourself and trust yourself and be confident. Now, being cocky is a different story. So confidence is loving yourself, being positive, and being open to others, and not thinking that you're better than anybody else, but not thinking that you're less than anybody else.
Ah, there's the key.
Everybody is treated equal, and you believe in yourself, and you're confident. Cocky comes with a little bit of a superiority, right? You walk into a room, you have your head up, and you pick and choose who, you know what I mean, who comes into your circle. There's that vibe, that there's that edge that comes from you when you're cocky. They're two completely, totally different things. So it's fine to be overly confident. It's fine to be as confident as you want, because true confidence means that you're open, you're loving, and you're aware of everybody around you, and you guys are all on the same level.
Okay. You know, my first exposure to that kind of thought, and you may or may not agree with this, so you can jump in, is my first job out of college. The mentor that was assigned to work with me, once he gave me a little plaque to put on the desk, and it said, "If you don't blow your own horn, nobody else will." And when he gave it to me, I said, "That is the worst thing I've ever heard. You know, this is I wasn't brought up to go around blowing your own horn." And his point was, if you don't let people know that you're capable, if you don't feel good about what you've accomplished, if you are constantly diminishing your efforts, nobody else will appreciate the value that you bring to the situation either. And it took me a long time to get my head around that. Is that sort of what we're talking about here?
Yeah, well, absolutely. Well, it's the same parallel. You know, when I compliment somebody and I say, "Oh, you look beautiful today." "Oh, no, I don't. Don't say that about me."
You're talking about my wife.
Right? They have a hard time accepting that it's okay to be beautiful. It's okay to be great at what you do. You know, very few people say, "Thank you. I do feel great today." Or, "Yeah, I feel pretty good in this outfit." They usually want to negate that compliment. You know, they get uncomfortable with it. So I understand what you said, your professor.
No, it was a mentor that had been assigned to me.
A mentor. It's very true. And we're going to talk about that because that's one of the key points in building confidence.
Okay.
Being able to toot your own horn.
Great. Let's see. I think the producer's waving at us to do a commercial here, and then we will be right back.
Do you have a desire to be a part of a conscious community? I mean a community of people who get together with the purpose of strengthening their awareness muscles, deepening their relationships, and striving for the extraordinary? Check out how to get started at productivelearning.com. We are a unique self-development company, and we believe that we all have the innate ability to create and live the lives we truly want. But we also know that ability needs to be nurtured and developed. That's why we offer over 40 different workshops to our conscious community, workshops that intentionally stretch you beyond your comfort zone towards what you truly want. Our workshops are not ordinary. We take journeys across the world from exotic scuba diving trips to rich cultural getaways. And we offer amazing workshops right here in South Orange County. Join us and find out just how extraordinary life can be. Go to productivelearning.com today or call Lisa Reed at 949-234-0628. To see how you can be a part of our conscious community, that's productivelearning.com or 949-234-0628.
And now back to Doug and his guest.
And that wasn't just another commercial. That was Lisa Reed, who's been a guest on our show and been just a wonderful guest and a wonderful resource in introducing us to new people. So if you missed it, go back and listen to the commercial again. Well, we're back here with Netta, and we're talking about confidence. And boy, is the energy flowing in the studio today.
Passionate.
Passionate is right. So where are we going to go? What do you want to tell us about confidence here today?
Well, we dived into a little bit about the performance element, and I know I could tell you were curious about that.
Yeah, I was.
So we can talk about that a little bit, and how I relate it and how I came to this epiphany that, these completely relate. And, you know, it started with working with performers and realizing that when you walk on stage, you have to be confident, right? People pay to watch a show. People pay sometimes hundreds of dollars. So when you walk on stage, you have to have a message. You have to feel good about what you're doing, and you have to be able to get that message out. And if you're self-consumed and you doubt yourself, then your message doesn't get out there.
Right.
So there's five things that really really correlate with building your confidence that came from performance.
Okay, okay, so you're going
to
give us the five points now. Okay.
Okay. The first thing is something that we do as performers, and that's character analysis. Okay? So what that means for us is reverse engineering. Where do you come from? What's your journey? What's your mindset like? Where do your thoughts come from? And figuring out where your thoughts come from. Where does your self-doubt come from? Where do you lack the confidence and why? And figuring that out. It is character analysis. So I don't mean dive into therapy, right? Because that's a different field.
Right.
But I mean figuring out what you lack the confidence in and tracing it back to figure out where it came from. So I'll give you a perfect example and I'll use myself just to be safe. So I've been pretty confident growing up, as mentioned. But there's one area where I struggled a little bit, and that was with body image. And I, you know, just going through high school, you know, I struggled with my body and I didn't like the way I looked, and, you know, in a bathing suit and, you know, everything that we tend to deal with. And as I was getting older, I kept asking myself, why do I have this issue? I would be weighing myself multiple times a day. I'm talking like more than 3-4 times a day. Once in the morning after I went to the bathroom, then I drink some water, I would weigh myself. Then halfway through the day, I'd weigh myself. Then I'd come home in the night and I would weigh myself, right? That's like ludicrous.
You've got me floored.
It's
over
not
here.
Normal.
You know, I'm sitting here, the audience can't see this. You're a beautiful woman.
Thank
I'm going,
you.
Where did this come from?
Thank you. Well, I'm going to tell you where it came from because I figured it out.
Okay.
And then I realized that my mom was a model. She was Miss Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Okay. So she had a distorted image of her body and she weighed herself every day nonstop. And when I was a kid, she would ask me, did you weigh yourself today? Okay. So that's where that insecurity came from.
Okay.
And I realized that's where it came from. And then it was easier for me to break the habit because I understood why I had this mindset about my weight. Now, for some people, it's way more traumatic than that. For some people, it's not. I mean, I've talked with women that have said, you know, I feel really, 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 really fat all the time. And they're incredibly thin. Okay, where does that come from? Where do you think it comes from? Well, you know, I had a boyfriend a couple years ago, and he used to date fitness models. And so he used to tell me that I wasn't fit and that I was fat. And they held on to that. They held on to that comment, and then from then on created this lack of confidence in the way that they looked. So that's the first thing. In the performance world, we call it character analysis.
Character analysis.
Yep.
Okay, I like it.
Diving into your character, who you are, where your thoughts come from, and then, as known for us, reverse engineering.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So that's the first one. The second one is called mirror talk, also known as words of affirmation. So as performers, when we perform, we rehearse in front of mirrors. And that's because it helps us build the confidence when we look at ourselves. We get used to looking at ourselves. We get used to, you know, performing and singing to ourselves and looking in the mirror. We feel great about what we're doing. So words of affirmation, mirror talk, talking to yourself in the mirror and saying positive things about you. Now, this is really difficult for some people because they've never done this before, so they tell me, you expect me to look in the mirror and say, I'm beautiful? I'm like, yes, do it. You know, you want me to talk to myself in the mirror? I'm like, 100%. So words of affirmation, there's two steps to it. The first step is writing it down, not texting, writing it, because there's something different about physically writing out the beautiful things that you think about yourself.
Okay.
Okay? And then taking that into the mirror every day, and pumping yourself up, being your own cheerleader. I look beautiful today. Today, I'm going to go to work and I'm going to be successful and I'm going to be the best that I can be. Today, I'm going to reach my full potential. Today, I'm not going to let anybody ruin my positive outlook and my mood. Today, like going in there and saying that, and you'd be surprised. Saying that every day to yourself makes a world of a difference, world of a difference. And I always tell this to the women that I work with. You know, women innately want to help other people, right?
Yes.
They innately want to take care of people. So you have a wife, right? You have
yes.
You have kids. You're married with kids.
Yep.
So if you and your wife and your kids were walking down the street and somebody random came up and said some really mean things to your kids, is your wife and you going to stand there and say, yeah, you know, that's true. You really need to consider that.
Never.
Right. You're going to stick up for them.
Yep.
And then you're going to counterbalance that by telling your kids all the beautiful things that they are. Don't listen to them. You're intelligent. You're great. You're beautiful. Right? You're going to balance that. So why don't we do that for ourselves? Why don't we talk to ourselves like that? Because we tend to beat ourselves up all the time. We're our number one enemy. So we say things all the time in our head. Oh, don't do it. You're not good enough. Oh, sit down. Oh, you're not ready. But really, we should be giving ourselves compliments. Just like we jump to the defense for everybody else, we have to jump to the defense for ourselves.
I can't dispute any of that. You know, and it's kind of interesting that you talk about the affirmation, because I know that in terms of if you're getting ready to do a speech or a presentation, you're not really great at it. They always tell you, give your speech in front of a mirror. You know, look at yourself giving the speech, and you automatically stand up straighter. You automatically deliver more powerfully.
Yep.
So the idea of linking affirmations with that certainly makes a lot of sense. I had never thought of it before.
Right.
Yeah. I've used affirmation cards, but never linking it with a mirror.
Right.
I like that idea.
Yeah, and there's something that happens between the combination of, again, physically writing it down, because it's coming out of your body, and then standing up and looking at yourself and now actually saying it. Because you'd be surprised how many people have a hard time saying it. It's very uncomfortable. You know, I was working with a woman a couple months ago, and we were just doing an exercise, and I told her, you know, just say you're beautiful. She would say, I'm beautiful. I'm like, no, say you're beautiful. I'm beautiful. And we went through it about 25 times until finally she was like, I am beautiful. You know, and there's
you
just,
got her.
Right. But so getting that out there little by little, more and more each day, you're going to become stronger. I'm beautiful. Today is going to be a great day. It might start off a little bit rough. You know, I'm beautiful. All right. It might be a little uncomfortable, but you'd be surprised by the end of the week, by the end of the month, you are just going at it.
Okay. Number two, mirror talk.
Mirror talk. Words of affirmation.
And words of affirmation.
Yes.
Okay.
The third one is, this is my favorite, creating an alter ego. Okay, so what I mean by that is be who you admire. Take the qualities from the people that you admire. So we all have people that we look up to that when we see them, we go, wow. Like they are just, they walk into a room, they turn heads, they're not afraid to take risk. You know, they're very strong, they're confident. We all see that. So something that I used to do, because I wanted to be a better performer, is I used to watch the performers that were the best. And I loved Celine Dion, and I loved Britney Spears. Two different reasons, of course, right? Okay, Celine Dion, just incredible vocalist.
And powerful confidence.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And Britney Spears was an incredible performer, incredible dancer. Okay, so I began to create this alter ego so that when I walked on stage, I had what they had. Now, I didn't become Celine Dion. I didn't become Britney Spears. I do a killer impersonation of Britney Spears, I have to tell you.
Well, we'll see if we have time for that.
I got to tell you. I got to warn you. So I didn't become them, but I took the qualities that I admired from them, and I began to manifest that in me as a performer. Right? How they stood, you know, how they stood up tall, how they commanded the stage, their chin, where they looked, you know, how they held the microphone. And next thing you knew, I was walking on stage, standing center and singing and dancing. And I was just blowing the rest of the performers out of the water because I had built that alter ego. But then what happens is that alter ego now becomes you. So now you begin to manifest those characters in yourself. So look at somebody that you admire, whether it's your mom, whether it's a mentor, you know, maybe it is a public figure, and figure out, what do I like about them? Where they always walk tall. Okay, I'm going to start walking tall. You know, they always speak clearly and with, you know, a point and with clarity. Okay, I'm going to start doing that. And before you know it, you are now building these characteristics.
You know, I've had the same personal coach for 10 years, and I met her when I was going through coaches training, and part of the deal was you had to hire a coach, so I did, and then I've kept her as my coach, and I still talk to her once a month. We have a scheduled coaching session, and we just had one this week, and it was kind of interesting because I got off the phone with her, and I was at home, and my wife says, how did the talk go with Cynthia? That's the coach, Cynthia Lloyd-Darst. And I said, it was great. She said, what'd you talk to her about today? I said, you know, I really didn't have any real issues to talk to her about today. I said, but I would never stop talking to her once a month because I learned so much from watching her perform as a coach. Yeah. And I want to be, if I can be half the coach she is to me, to my clients, I'll be really happy.
Yeah.
So the same sort of thing you're talking about.
So you're manifesting some of her qualities.
Yes.
Slowly.
But I never really took it. I'm going to take it to that next step of then, okay, I need to write down what are the qualities that I want to emulate there.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and I can start to think of a couple of them, but I haven't really dug into that deeply.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good. Good. I don't have to be Celine Dion. That's uncomfortable.
You don't have to be Celine Dion.
All right.
So that's the third one, alter ego. The fourth one is doing things that you love to do. So what happens, and you know this, and we all know this, and anybody listening can attribute to this. Sometimes you start to do things in your life that you feel like you have to do. You know, I have to, you know, I got to pay bills, so I got to do this job, and I got to go to work, I got to pick up my kids. You know, the list goes on for people, right?
Yep.
And then that's when you begin to resent what you're doing. And then you begin to dislike how you feel. These thoughts start to, get into your head. You feel stuck. And that's where a lot of your doubt can come from, your self-doubt. So if you do things that you love to do, what's going to happen? You're going to feel great. So that's why performers are performers because they love to perform. It's one of the hardest careers to get into. Do you know what I mean?
Like yeah. Oh, yeah.
Artists.
Struggling artists.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all know it.
Artists are emotional beings and they're passionate. And, you know, they'll sleep on the street if they have to, but they love what they do. And at the end of the day, they'll go to thousands and thousands of auditions, and they will hear 1,000 no's before they get their first yes, but they'll keep doing it because they love to do it. So if you do things that you love to do, and it could be so simple as playing tennis. It could be so simple as, you know, I like to do Zumba. So I'll go to the gym and I'll just do Zumba and I'll walk out of there and I feel great. So if you begin to do things and make it a meeting, this is what I say, put it in your calendar as if it were a meeting so that no one can take that away from you, so that you always have that time where you feel great and you walk out of whatever it is that you're doing a little bit more confident. I actually do that. Like I'll put in my calendar 6 to 7 p.m. gym. And then when somebody says, hey, I'd love to meet you, can we have a meeting? I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry I'm booked.
Yeah.
6 to 7 p.m., right? Because you need that. You need to do things that you love so that you feel great about what you're doing and you feel great about your life. If you're doing a ton of things that don't make you feel great, at the end of the day, you're not going to feel great.
Okay, I want to sit on this one for a second because people talk about the advice they sometimes give. Oh, you ought to do what you're passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
You ought to do things you feel good about. And people listen to that, and the thought that goes through their head is, but I don't love everything about my job. That's ridiculous to think that I'm going to love everything about my job. I might love some things about it. Or I'm not passionate about being a coach 24/7, most of the time, maybe. So, but and towards the end there, you started to touch on that you aren't saying do only the things you love to do.
Correct.
You want to talk to that point a little?
Right. So you have to find a balance.
The balance issue.
Right. So, but here's the thing, though. If you are going to a place of work and the majority of the time you don't like it and you're not happy, you need to make a shift.
Keyword, majority of the time.
Majority of the time, you need to make a shift.
But even the world's best job has some
Absolutely.
Things that aren't. I love what I do, but there is some mechanics to being a coach.
Absolutely.
That, you know, I don't really like doing the invoices every month.
Right. Absolutely. So you have to ask yourself at the end of the day, is this more draining than it is developing for me? And if the answer is yes, if you're getting completely drained and you're not developing and it's a constant struggle for you to get out of bed and it's just a chore for you, it's time to make a transition. Now, if the majority of the time you're like, this is great, I love my job, there's days here and there, that's okay, that's inevitable. Like, that's not going to go away in life, like you said, no matter what you do.
Right. But what I'm hearing you say is a step beyond that is to find something you really like to do on a regular basis and schedule it in.
Yeah, it goes beyond your work. It goes
beyond the work.
The daily things that you're doing, you know, in your life, that spending time with your kids, you know, going to the movies, whatever makes you really happy that when you go do them, you just feel great and you're in a positive, uplifting mood. Sometimes, and a lot of times, we get stuck in a routine and we don't allow happiness in our life. You know, how many of us, and I'm sure some of your listeners can, you know, attest to this, they wake up, they get ready, they go to work, they work all day long, then they get in the car, they sit in traffic, then they get home, maybe they'll cook dinner if they feel like it or they'll buy dinner out, Then they hit the couch for maybe half an hour. They're so exhausted. They go to bed, and they do the same thing every day, all day.
I'm exhausted listening to you.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to lose steam. You're going to lose confidence. You're going to become stuck. You're going to, like I said, build resentment for your life because you haven't incorporated anything in there that just gives you joy, that you're not forced to do, but you love to do it.
You know, we all kind of know, I assume we all know, that when, or at least I've learned, when I have been in periods of really high stress, either because of work or because of family situation, that was time, those times were when exercise routines became really important to me because they forced me to take my mind off of whatever was stressing me. I got totally involved in whatever the exercise was, whether it was tennis or racquetball or aerobics, whatever it was. You're saying sort of the same thing, not necessarily high stress, but whenever you're finding that you aren't happy with yourself, that's when you need to identify what is it that's going to bring you happiness today.
Right. And really trying to make it a daily thing. Don't stress about it, as you mentioned. But it's something to look forward to then.
Yeah.
You know, after work, oh, I'm going to go to the gym and I'm going to do Zumba, you know, or, oh, I have a, you know, a date night out with my ladies or my guy friends. You know, you get excited and you build that confidence in you. And it's funny because people don't correlate the two. Oh, I'm excited. That builds confidence. Yes, because it makes you feel good about who you are and what you're doing. And that can change everything.
It gives you energy.
That's right.
You can't be confident without energy.
That's right.
Okay, good. All right, we ready for number five?
Drum roll. And there's actually more than five, but these are the five that are really, really important.
Okay.
Okay, and the other ones are as well, but these can really jumpstart you.
These are the only ones you're going to share today.
These are the ones I'm sharing today.
If they want to know more, they're going to have to get in touch with
That's
you.
That's right.
All right.
The fifth one is, I call it the walking billboard.
Okay.
Okay, walking billboard. You're a headliner. And what that means is, as performers, we are always on. We're on 24/7. Doesn't matter if we step on stage, if we step off stage, if we're walking to the bathroom, if we're walking to the tour bus, we are on. People are watching us, and they're receiving messages from us constantly. The way we talk, the way we walk, the way we dress, you know, the bag that we carry, everything. So we, as individuals, are the exact same way. Everything that we do, whether we're walking into a market or we're walking into our work, we're sending a message. We need to ask ourselves, what message do I want to send? So when I talk to women and I ask them, well, what message do you want to give out? If you didn't say a word, if you just walked into a room, what would the message be? Well, I want people to just think that I'm a good, happy person. Okay. Now, are you sending that message with your body physically? Are you sending that message with your posture? Are you sending that message with the things that you say later on? Well, no, I usually walk in staring at the floor, or I'll have my arms crossed, or I typically wear all black. And I'm like, okay, so what I want you to do is really redefine what it is that you want your message to be, what you want people to hear when you walk into a room and when you speak. And if you want people to think that you're loving and that you're confident and that you are happy, then you need to start putting that message out there. What you put out into the world is what you get back. So if you walk into a room with your head down, staring at the floor, not talking to anybody with your arms crossed, yes, they are going to think that you're invisible because you have put the message out there that you're invisible. But if you walk into a room and you're just happy to be there and you're open and you have a posture that's opening, people are now going to look at you and be drawn towards you. And your confidence is going to build because of that. So a lot of confidence is what you put out there. Because a lot of times people lack confidence because they don't feel like they're being seen, right?
Right.
Don't feel like I'm being seen.
Yeah, that's the ultimate lack of confidence.
I hear that all the time. Yeah. Exactly. I don't feel like I'm being seen. I don't feel like I have a voice. I don't feel like anyone's noticing me. And then I challenge them to flip it to the other side. Okay, well, if you don't feel like you're being seen and you don't feel like you're being heard, what is it that you're putting out there that they're grabbing and then in turn doing that? Are you putting out there a positive, you know, because if you're positive and you're open, you're going to be seen. You're going to be heard.
Yeah.
Okay. But if you're not and you're, you know, shoulders forward, like I said, head to the ground, that's what's going to happen. And a lot of times it's very funny because people don't realize that they're always on. And that's what performers, they're always on, always.
In some ways, it sounds exhausting.
It is exhausting. But it's not exhausting if you are able to then manifest that in yourself and believe it in yourself. And that's why that's one of the last ones, right? Because you, okay, you have to convince yourself that, not convince yourself, you have to work towards understanding who you are.
This is not a facade. This is you.
No, this, of course, this is you. But again, it's going back to, what do I want to give out there? What's the message that I want to give out there? That is you. Now, if you want your message to be negative and you want your people not to talk to you, then that's what you're going to put out there. But if you're trying to work on your confidence and you want people to see you and you want people to realize that you're happy and you have a good energy and you can go and do anything, then that's what you have to put out there. So it's not putting on a facade. Actually, that's a good point that you said that there, because, you know, we each have different characteristics. We have different elements to our personality, right? We're happy, we're sad, we're aggressive. We all have these. We just have to learn when to turn them on and when to turn them off. Okay? And that's the struggle that a lot of people deal with, is they don't know when to turn that confidence on. They don't know when to pull back the aggressiveness. And that's where it can be conflicting for them. So if people want to progress in their workforce, right? I deal with a lot of women that want that promotion, but they don't know how, right, to get it. Well, if you want to progress in that workforce, you have to take the confidence that's in you. It already exists. It already exists. And you have to pull it from the bottom. It might take some work. Might have to reverse engineer words of affirmation, all that we talked about. You have to pull it out. And now give the confidence to where you want it to be, which is in your career.
Okay. So what I hear that you've added to this conversation is a dial that you can, as a performer, you can dial up to fit the situation, so that we're not talking about developing a super confident, you know, 120% projection that's always there no matter what the environment. Dial it up to the appropriate level.
Yeah, but again, it's just being aware of the message that you're putting out there.
Okay.
Right? Like you want to understand that when you walk into work, for example, because that's the number one thing that people struggle with, is confidence at work. The message that you're putting out there is what they're going to get back. And that's what, how they're going to treat you. So you have to know that when you walk into your work environment, you might need to turn that dial up a little bit more than you would at home. Right?
Well, yes and no. You know, it's kind of interesting. At work, it's almost easier for us to dial up our confidence because we know the role. But then we go into a social setting and we go to somebody's house. We're meeting a whole group of new people. It's like, how do I, you know, what's the behavior there? It's a little more unknown.
Well, the behavior is to be yourself.
Be yourself.
And that's why you have to start with loving yourself. Because this is a good point. A lot of times people don't love themselves, so then they don't know how to act.
Yeah.
And then they start to change according to people because they want people to like them. And that's when we get into trouble. So you're like, oh, I want them to like me. And then, you know, I start to, what should I say? Can I do this? Are they going to attend to me? But if you just love yourself, then it doesn't matter. You're just putting out a message of confidence. I love myself. I'm here with you. And if you enjoy me, that's great. I enjoy you. And if you don't, then it's not a good fit.
So you're doing this for yourself, not for somebody else.
You always have to do it for yourself. You just have to be aware that everything that you're sending is received by everybody else.
You know, the story that popped into my head as you were talking about this is, a couple of times I've been in social settings where I was introduced to people I didn't know. After I was introduced to them, I would call the host or hostess over and go, who's that person over there? Because they seem so confident. They must be important. In the introductions, there was nothing that was said that was special about this person.
Right.
But the way in which they behaved, there was a confidence level that made you know that, hey, what's different about this person?
Right.
You know? And sounds like what you're talking about.
Yeah, and the funny thing is that a lot of us aren't used to that anymore because we don't see that for we don't do that for ourselves. So now when we do see somebody that's confident, we're like, whoa, that's so unique.
Yeah.
But in all actuality, all of us should be doing that. Because as mentioned earlier, no one's better than anybody. We're all equal. So we should all be able to walk into a room and feel great about who we are and represent ourselves well.
That's the five steps.
See, it's not scary. There's no singing involved. You didn't have to tap dance or anything.
Oh, good. I was afraid. I'm pretty confident, except when it comes to my singing.
Let's just test it out right now. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, we are. Well, look, as we're not really wrapping up right this minute, but what else do you want to share with the audience? What haven't we covered that's important for you to get across?
I mean, we covered a lot, I think, just in diving into those five. But I just want people to know that this is a constant, you're constantly working at this. So confidence doesn't just come overnight. Like, it's going to come in different phases of your life. Because what's going to happen is sometimes you'll get hit with a traumatic situation.
Yeah.
And then all the confidence that you had, that you worked for, will go all the way down to the bottom. And then you got to start again. So it's something that's constantly and constantly developing. And even the best coaches in the world that do confidence sometimes struggle with self-doubt. And that's okay. Like, I don't want people to think that, oh, if I have a thought in my head that I'm not confident. The difference is having a thought in your head and then being able to turn it around to something positive and to not let it sabotage you. That's the difference. Because you're always... It doesn't matter who you are. There's thoughts that are going to come into your head. But it's learning how to work them. And it's learning how to say, thank you so much, friend. You're going to go into the back. And then this side of my brain is going to come to the front that says you can't do it. And then pushing forward, opposed to letting this side of your brain win and then taking a back seat.
Great. You know, a lot of this sounds very similar, not to diminish it, to some coaching that deals with the inside team. Which the inside team talks about all these little players that are in your head talking.
That's right.
And that's what I hear you saying is listen to those and then decide how you want to deal with them.
We can be our best friend or we can be our number one
Isn't
enemy.
Isn't that the truth? Yeah.
You get to decide. Isn't that amazing? You decide what you want to be.
It's up to us.
That's right.
Well, okay, for just a minute here, tell me a little bit more about Rise Up For You. What is the goal? What is it there? How can our audience take advantage of Rise Up For You?
Thank you for asking. So, plain and simple, the goal is to help women. It's to help women live their best life and to reach their full potential. And it's free. The majority of the stuff is free because women should be able to access these resources to help empower them and uplift them. So, again, they can go to the website. It's riseupforyou.com, completely spelled out.
Okay.
And there's podcast episodes there where we talk with, like, top professionals and experts around the world, not just nationally. And they share stories and they give actual tips and strategies. Like, I really make sure we get information so that women can listen to these episodes and then apply them to their life.
Perfect.
Articles, resources that are on the website that they can pull from and read and feel empowered. And then, of course, we have the live event that's coming up so that like-minded women can come together in a room and collaborate and listen to other amazing women that have done well for themselves that can share their story. And, of course, the coaching, which is to work with women one-on-one to help empower them so that they can live their best life. Everybody deserves that. As mentioned earlier in the show, we're all equal. And a lot of times we do this thing where we say, oh, man, I wish I had that car. Oh, I wish I could travel. I wish I was happy like that. And then you have to ask yourself, why are you wishing? Let's do it. They're no better than you, right? You can achieve anything you want to achieve if you put your mind to it and if you believe in yourself. And this is the confidence is the number one thing. It's the number one key to not only success, but to a happy life. Because confidence and believing in yourself is what's going to get you the job that you want. It's going to get you in the relationship that really is loving, not a toxic relationship. It's going to get you to be healthy because you believe that you deserve to have a healthy body. It's going to get you to build connections with other people because you believe in yourself and you're willing to share with other people and be open-minded. Confidence is the key to success, to happiness, and really is to living your best life.
Netta, thank you very much. Boy, this has been a great conversation.
Thank you.
I really appreciate you joining us today. And boy, your energy. And
I'm sweating. Got my workout for the day.
Well, look, thank you very much for joining. Anything else before we sign off here that you people get a hold of you by going to your website, RiseUpForYou.
Yes, thank you.
.com.
That's correct, riseupforyou.com. And then I would love to offer anybody a free strategy session if I said something that resonates with them.
Okay.
And they can go to the same place, riseupforyou.com/apply, and instantly they can create a phone call with me, and then we can go from there.
Okay, so free strategy session. Thank you very much
You're welcome.
Offering that to the audience. And you are also on Facebook?
Everywhere, yeah.
Everywhere, even Periscope. I never heard of Periscope before today.
I'm on Periscope.
You introduced me to that.
Snapchat, Instagram, all those fun social media gadgets that we love to hate.
Well, look, thank you very much for joining us, and welcome to the Coaching Perspective Radio community.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Well, look, if you've been listening to our podcast, then thank you for visiting our website, thecoachingperspective.com. Be sure to check out our archives for some other shows with some great guests. And speaking of guests, if you'd like to be in the show, we're always looking for coaches, CEOs, HR professionals, basically just interesting people that have something to share with our audience. If you would like to be a guest, just send me an email, doug@thecoachingperspective.com. Well, this is Doug Gefeller. I hope you enjoyed the show today, that the discussion has provided you with new ideas and information that you can put to use immediately to identify and achieve your goals with confidence.
You've been listening to the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the Coaching Perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller.